Alt NPR.
Well, podcasters and those who listen to podcasts, welcome to another edition of What Would Rob Do? I'm Mike Schuster, here with Rob Sachs. And as you know, Rob Sachs tackles the dilemmas of the day. And Rob, what's the dilemma this time?
Well, Mike, today we're going to be tackling the often baffling world of flea markets. You know, this is where you go. A lot of people are selling stuff. Maybe it's on a carpet. Maybe it's a yard sale. And you try to find something of value here. But how do you really find that diamond in the rough?
How do you do it? And are there really diamonds in the rough in flea markets?
Well, you would think so. I mean, I actually like to watch that show, Antiques Roadshow, on PBS, you know, where people get their stuff appraised and they find out that that shoehorn that Aunt Minnie saved them is really worth $2,000.
You watch this program?
Yeah, I like it. It's fun. You try to guess, like, oh, how much is it going to be? And then, you know, they're like, oh, my gosh, I never knew. Wow. It's exciting. You probably wouldn't have thought that I was into that, but...
No, I wouldn't have thought that at all. I would have thought quite the opposite. That would be the last place I would catch you in a flea market or the last program I would catch you watching on television.
Well, sometimes, you know, when Survivor's not on or Fear Factor, I kind of flip through and I get stuck sometimes.
All right, well, that answer doesn't disappoint me. So, how do you go about finding the diamonds in the rough? Do you read books on this? Do you try to educate yourself about this stuff?
Yeah, well, that's kind of what I was finding out. I talked to an expert about this. His name is Gordon Converse, and he's an antiques dealer outside of Philadelphia and one of the appraisers on the roadshow, and that's what he told me.
If I go to a flea market and buy something, to sum it up, it's probably because I've read the book. You know, if you want to buy an antique mirror, go down to the library and get a book that tells you all about mirrors.
So, Mike, do you like to read books about mirrors?
No. I don't like to read books about mirrors or books about antiques. I don't like to go to antique shows, and I don't like to go to flea markets. They seem like just like a bunch of dusty junk.
They can be. And I, too, am not so much into graphic novels about doorstops or anything like that. But I have a tactic to have some fun not only getting stuff, but have fun with the people who are selling you stuff. And it's all in the bargaining. I enjoy that aspect of it.
Well, bargaining is a big part of it wherever you go, I would assume, for antiques or flea markets. So how do you, Rob Sachs, how do you bargain?
Well, a lot of people think that for a yard sale or a flea market, the best thing is to get there early before everyone else has picked through it, and that way they can bargain for that. I say forget that. You want to go when it's lunchtime, and maybe the main seller is taking their break and they've left their stand over to their 10-year-old kid. Now, when you're trying to work over the kid, it's going to be a lot easier. Now you can start taking out juice boxes and sweetening the deal with that.
Bribe the 10-year-old.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
Bribe the 10-year-old. The other thing I like to do is playing the walking game. You know, you turn your back, you start walking the other direction, you wait for them to start falling to, hey, wait. You know, that money's going to start dropping.
So has this tactic worked for you?
It works. You got to figure out, you know, where's their weak point and then exploit it, because that's what I do. So sometimes I wind up with stuff I don't even want. I just wanted to bargain for it, which is fun in itself. It's like, you know, paying $10 to see a movie. Yeah, you pay $10 to bargain for it.
So you've actually purchased antiques or things from a flea market that you didn't want just to cap the deal.
Yeah, that's how I wound up with this crusty old plastic green lamp that my wife thinks is so atrocious. She actually made me throw that out a couple of months ago.
And how much did you get it for, Rob?
I got it for $7.50, started off at $15.50, which, you know, I got them down. So that was a pretty good bargain. I also have bargained a lot for baseball cards, which my cousin now tells me are worthless, but whatever. I thought, though, that one day I would use these bargaining skills to find that one thing that I would get for $5 or I would get such a great deal on.
And it's really worth $15,000, right?
So yeah. I went back to Gordon Converse. I asked him about this. How often does that actually happen in the real world where someone says, oh, I just happened upon this and someone sold it for me for $10 in a yard sale and now it's worth $10,000?
The fact is that in the course of a day while doing taping for Antiques Roadshow, we would see maybe 400 or 500 people at our table. over the course of that day, if we get two or three things that are worthwhile taping, then that's about what we expect.
So 1 in 500 aren't such good odds.
No, 1 in 500 aren't, because if you pay $750 for something you don't want 500 times, you're spending a lot of money for that diamond in the rough, Rob.
That's a little fuzzy math there, Mike, but I see where you're getting. One last thing I think of is that, you know, maybe instead of trying to strike it rich, trying to find that thing that's going to be worth a lot, maybe when you go to a flea market, just buy something you like. Don't worry about how much it's worth. Just go with things that make you happy.
Great advice, I think. Great advice, Rob. And I think that'll do it for today. Thanks again for listening to What Would Rob Do? A Guide to Life's Most Trying Dilemmas. I'm Mike Schuster.
And I'm Rob Sachs.
Alt, NPR.